and Kevin. This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors on 104.5 The Zone.
.601 on the Wake Up Zone at 104.5 The Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. When trust matters, you can count on All Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville. Professional garage door installation and repair from a family-owned and operated business. Visit fourseasonsgarages.com to learn more. Mark Howard along with Blaine Bishop, Kevin off until Monday. Our producer, Jonathan Schaefer. Our guest list during the 7 o'clock hour, Andrew Erickson from Pro Football Focus talking fantasy football. 8:15, the world's most interesting man. Tim Corbin, Vanderbilt baseball coach. 9:15, very interesting in his own right. Mike Keith, the VOD voice of the Titans. Guys, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Friday, guys. Yeah, a lot of news, huh? Or no news?
Well, right off the top. Okay, I had Gleb and Anastasia winning that table tennis deal. And what can I say? I'm an expert in Ukraine table tennis. I was not getting tips. I did not know those matches were fixed. They were two Howard House bets.
Oh, my.
Who knew, who knew you could bet on that, on Ukrainian table tennis?
I didn't even know that existed.
That's when you know you have a problem. I mean, if you're betting on that, exactly. You have a major issue.
Well, in the absence of sports, Shafe, nature abhors a vacuum. So they had to fill it with Ukrainian table tennis. Wow.
At someday, Mark, we'll know where you got all your tips and leads on your bets, though.
I have a never-ending pool of sources, Blaine. In the Ukraine.
I know you do.
All right. The big story, guys, of course, yesterday, the Big Ten announcing that they will go conference only in college football this fall. And that is no small story. And I think it is definitely a prelude of things to come. But you are talking about some pretty big interconference rivalries. You know, beginning September 5th with Michigan playing at Washington, that's eliminated. Ohio State at Oregon, that's huge. Could have helped the perception of the Big 12. Ohio State would have had a chance to make the playoff by running the table and not necessarily having to win its own conference. So, you know, there were some other really good games. The traditional rivalry, Iowa State at Iowa, Penn State at Virginia Tech, Miami at Michigan State, and Wisconsin at Notre Dame in October. That was supposed to be played at Lambeau Field. So, you know, right off the bat, the Big Ten acting dramatically and eliminating these out-of-conference games.
Yeah, you know, it's all fun for us for fans just to say those games are no longer existing. But in the true sense of the manner, I think those schools will survive. You know, it's the teams like Michigan versus Ball State, who Ball State can't get that check, are the teams that can't survive. So it's interesting to see how now, if you're only going to play conference games, was this a move by the Big Ten to not have to pay out those schools, really, because they say, hey, this is another windfall of money that we know we're going to win these games, but does it really matter? And can we, like, you know, keep our checks? You know, whether it's $1 million, $1.5 million, from giving to schools like Ball State and others that's in the conference. But the big schools, they'll survive. It's big, great for us on fans. We want to see those matchups. But those Power Five schools will all survive. So it's unfortunate when you look at it that way, that those schools, even MTSU's always got some Big Ten teams on there in the beginning of the season. So those are the schools that will really be hurt by these big Power Fives. It's going to show you that at some point, seems like the Power Five is just going to branch away from everybody else. And really, is this a prelude to all of that?
Well, I think they did it to play defense a little bit, because they're not sure if they're going to have fans in the stands. And like you said, Blaine, they were going to have to write some big checks, you know, in certain circumstances. But also, you know, when it comes to these other games, when it comes to, you know, the Notre Dame's and the Wisconsin games, it's more a matter of travel and everything else. So, you know, that's another consideration. Now, the SEC, according to Pat Forty and Russ Dellinger of SEC.com, will have the 14 athletic directors scheduled to meet Monday at conference headquarters in Birmingham to discuss that fall sports calendar. And remember this, right now the SEC has teams in 7 of the top 11 states with the largest current increases in COVID-19 cases over the last 2 weeks. That's Louisiana, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, and Texas. And they're home to all but 4 of the league's 14 athletic programs. So looking at those numbers, you've got to wonder if the SEC is going to follow suit.
Well, all those states, though, Mark, I know LSU, I don't know, I haven't followed all the SEC schools. You know, I know Tennessee hasn't had any players test positive. What are some of the numbers based off not just the state? I know that does matter because you got to follow the mandates, but what if some of the schools, I don't think a lot of the schools in the SEC have tested really bad besides LSU. I can think of off the top of my head here.
Maybe
Alabama,
not.
Alabama early on was, and I know it's past 2 weeks, I think they had 14 guys or so. But they're, you know, the states, you're absolutely right. The numbers have gone up. So I wonder how much that plays into their thought process, or are they really looking at the state numbers? And, you know, basically, you know, we can talk up here. You know, you're in Bellevue or Nashville, the numbers are real high. I'm out here in Winston County. Shoot, they're going to have high school, you know, start on time and some online, some at home. So it shows you it can vary in the actual individual state, even. So that's why I was asked to break it down also to actually the schools who've been testing their players. Will that be determination, not necessarily the numbers in the state?
I would be surprised if they didn't go all conference, at least in my opinion.
Because imagine if you say we have games, our players have been tested pretty good. Nobody's tested positive. We just won't have fans. See, so that kind of eliminates, you know, some of that as well.
Yeah, you eliminate
TV revenue. So yeah, there's different ways of looking at it, but yeah.
I think this is more with a mind towards fans and not players, at least at this point. Now, you know, you look at the ACC. And the state of Florida alone, you know, right now is one of the hottest states in terms of COVID-19 numbers. So you've got Miami, you've got Florida State, you know, two key schools just for starters. So you wonder which way they're thinking. And then there was the Notre Dame question. If the ACC decided to go, you know, with conference-only games, how would they consider Notre Dame? But they understand Notre Dame translates into money, and they are going to try to work with Notre Dame, who I believe has six of their regular season games scheduled with ACC teams. You know, otherwise that would have just gutted their schedule. So, of their remaining 11 scheduled games, they play Wake Forest, Pittsburgh, Duke, Clemson, Georgia Tech, and Louisville. Two others are against Pac-12 schools, Stanford and USC. Those could get canceled. They've already lost the Wisconsin game, and they have an SEC game against Arkansas. So Notre Dame could see their schedule gutted anyway, you know, because of you know, the out-of-conference policies by some of the other, you know, Power Five and even Group of Five. So you know, that suddenly places them in a pretty dicey situation.
Well, I mean, having six games in the ACC, I think the ACC would welcome Notre Dame to maybe some other games to have some more. So I think Notre Dame's actually in a power position, to be honest. I think you're looking at it a little differently than me, because it may force them maybe to want to be part of a conference a little bit more, but Notre Dame's brand. So regardless if they playing, you know, six games at ACC and they get two other games outside of that, I'm sure the ACC will say, well, we got two other teams that you would love to play. How about that? And they go, all right, how much, you know, how is this all going to work? Or are they going to join a conference now? Will this make them maybe look at it a little differently? But I think Notre Dame is a brand that I don't think they feel like they're vulnerable at this time. I think they feel like this is a position of power.
Interesting. Well, yeah, because already they've lost
six games. Yeah, but if you have six games already with ACC, you're really part of the ACC to a certain extent, Mark, and all their other sports are part of the ACC. So I think they sit back and say, well, we played six games. I think the only question you should be looking at is how would this affect if they played only six games and only those ACC games and they didn't play enough ACC games, how does that determine where they are in the national ranking if they didn't play enough conference games? I think that's the only place. Sir. Other than that, man, Notre Dame is Notre Dame. So you could say they're independent. It may hurt some of the other independents. Not Notre Dame. They had their own TV contract, Mark.
Yeah, but the problem is, again, they're going to get those ACC games. You're absolutely right. All mm-hmm. I'm saying is that if they're playing, you know, all their other games against Power 5 schools might get canceled. So that might really cut down the amount of games they play. So all of a sudden we're talking, you know, Notre Dame, what, maybe playing eight, maybe nine games? You know, all of a sudden, you know, when you're talking about a college football playoff, how do you judge Notre Dame all of a sudden?
Well, that's what I just said.
Yeah.
Like I said, at the end of the season for the bowl games and determined to play. Other than that, that's it. Now you could add some more ACC games because they're going to be missing some games. You can add another ACC. How many teams do the Big Ten have? They would be how many is scared? The 10? Well, so you're only one game behind. And then you can look at the percentages of their, you know, of their wins and losses.
Yeah.
I mean, one game off is not going to really, to me, be a, yeah, may lose out a little bit, but, you know, I don't think Notre Dame's worried at all.
I think they're worried. I think they're worried in a big way.
No. Nah.
Actually. And then you've got. That. You know, then you've got, you know, another consequence to this that we'll talk about on the other side that could really affect the college season. 6:13 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. Six 20 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Mark Howard along with Blaine Bishop, our producer Jonathan Schaefer. Kevin is off. He'll be back on Monday. And we're talking about the Big Ten announcing yesterday that they would go exclusively all conference in their football schedule this fall, as well as other sports. Now, Blaine, the other thing that was not made clear was how many games the Big Ten would add to the schedules, you know, with conference teams, you know, and that's sort of the other, you know, big question that I'm sure the other conferences are asking each other, you know, and all of a sudden, when you get to a 14-team SEC, if they decide to say go with 10 conference games, there's going to be a battle over who plays who.
Mm. And that's where Sankey and the ADs have to come together in the SEC and kind of make their decision, you know, all the conferences really on stuff like that. So I, you know, either, yeah, they're not going to be too happy.
You know, and maybe you play Alabama. You play LSU.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're probably going to make sure you try to make, you know, East and West and those natures. But then after that, in some of the rivalry games and what's priority, man, you know, the SEC, you know, football is utmost importance. It's number one uno besides having your kid. So it's cool. People are going to be upset, Mark. No question about it. No, everybody's going to be lined up just to play Alabama, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's the, you know, you can imagine those, you know, East Division ADs, you know, battling over who gets to play LSU and who gets to play Alabama and so on down the line. You know, I'm sure everybody wants Arkansas, you know, this year. But whatever the case, you know, that's going to be part of it. As we get set, you know, for a college football season like no other, at least, you know, in the last, you know, 50 or 60 years. You know, you talked about what schools have to lose. Mm-hmm. And for Middle Tennessee, they have a lot to lose.
Yeah.
They have a huge home game against Virginia Tech in September, the 19th. So Virginia Tech and Murfreesboro could be in jeopardy if the ACC follows suit with the Big Ten and eliminate out-of-conference games. You would hate that, for Chris Massaro and all the people in Murfreesboro, because that's a game I know they had circled. That's a game they felt like they were going to sell out and make some money and pay some bills with. So, yeah, you're right. And plus, Middle had other teams on their schedule that would help the athletic budget. And that's why all of this, is really, going to be a test this fall for certain athletic departments to see how they're going to survive without some of these big money games.
Yeah, and that's Mark, man. And then, how much then do you get attendance? And so, most of these schools like that, the Ball States, MTSUs, Conference USAs, that's how they survive, really, and keep their athletic programs vibrant. So, man, this could hurt in more ways than one. So I'm interested to see if outside of the Power Five, and if they canceled all, which it looks like they're going to be canceling all their out-of-conference games, how do the other conferences really – make it through the season, that conference, or will it be status quo? Will they go out and get loans and then get in a little bit of debt and come back the next year and recoup it with out of conference games? Those are some of the things you got to start thinking about. Are they already in too much debt right now from an athletic standpoint from missing, some of the other sports in the previous year? So, man, you would not want to be an athletic director right now. at mid-level tier university.
Well, the other thing that Andy Staples brought up is by cutting these schedules, you wonder if some of the top players are going to opt out. Would Trevor Lawrence decide to leave Clemson and just go train somewhere and get ready for the draft? Could you imagine Ohio State, without quarterback Justin Fields, or Penn State, without, their big star, Micah Parsons? Oregon has a reigning Outland Trophy winner, Penei Sewell, at left tackle. LSU has Jamar Chase at wide receiver. Could some of these guys, maybe a few of them, maybe a lot of them, decide, this whole schedule thing, has really gone askew. I'm just going to leave school and just get ready for the draft.
Yeah, okay, I want a little bit of clarity there, Mark. You're saying just still playing games in the fall that guys would probably not play?
Well, the schedule could maybe be partially in the fall and get moved back enough, where you start getting into January and February. And that's where all of a sudden, you might be facing some of these guys deciding to walk.
Oh, yeah, no question. If it's after the first of the year, I think, yeah, there will be players. I don't think that's abnormal. And just imagine if they had a regular season and then a lot of these guys are talking about not playing bowl games. Not for the national championship bowl game. So what's the difference? I mean, there is no difference in the time frame. That's why I was asking more about the time frame. Because if you're talking about, they moved the schedule back and we're still having games in, October and November and December and they decide not to play, then that would be a little more interesting to me because that means they really had no intentions really of playing at all, and this was a convenient excuse because they missed a month of the season.
Well, again, I think you're going to see the Power Five conferences, making decisions in the coming days and maybe weeks. And then you're going to have the Group of Five schools making a decision. Ooh. If they lose their games against the Power Five conferences, do they just decide, let's go play in the spring? We've got some NFL prospects on our roster, but not like maybe some of these Power Five schools. So we've got a much better chance of having fans in the stands. So let's do it that way in the spring.
Yeah, and it's funny because a lot of people have they're on both sides of this having spring games, and to me, I think you could still play a season. It just would be interesting how that then leads into the next season. Maybe you'll have it in a different manner. Maybe you don't, you know, play starters. If you're not talking about a season, more scrimmaging type of teams, just to kind of get some revenue and get it on TV. So I'm interested to see how that all plays out on the spring games. If you move the season to the springtime, you know, I think a lot of people are saying that because it makes a lot of sense. Hopefully you have a vaccine. The second wave will be finished. You feel a little more comfortable with the situation at hand. Maybe you have a little better understanding of the virus and C-19, and, you know, and what's going on. And I think you understand a little bit more the risk. Right now, I think it's the unknown still today of what is the risk. With the number spiking, there's a natural fear factor from everyone when the number spikes. Well, naturally, there was going to be more people getting tested, so the numbers are going to go up, at least from the athletic point of view, because most of the guys probably hadn't even gotten tested. So, and there's different forms of testing. So you say, okay, which one, you know, has more validity to saying that whether you have it or not, or all of them really good. So you get to this point where we're in a state of pause because of the unknown, and then all the numbers going up, and it becomes more concerning. It's almost like now the coaches, the ADs, and the conferences now are parents, and they go, man, I really care about my kids, man. Am I putting them at too much risk here? All for the money. All for the money. That's really what this comes down to. And so you say, what are the risks? And you're trying to get a handle on that, and you say, well, let's delay until we have to give an answer. And the delay now is we're only going to play conference games. Guess what that does? It just buys them a little more time. And guess what? They can control their scheduling. They may start the games in October. You know, if you're just playing conference games and you're just playing eight games, some more in other conferences. But, yeah, I think that's what they're trying to do, and that'll give them and buy them more time. But does buy more time, Mark, make it even tougher, because now that leads into the flu season?
You're right, Dr. Bishop.
Oh, right. I wish I had a DR in front of my name.
I'll tell you what, you know, I told you, you know, when we were, you know, trying to figure out, you know, how this was going to go, I told you I thought that they would start the season October 1st. I still believe that's going to happen. And, you know, again, the SEC, it will meet on Monday, according to reports on SI.com from Ross Dellinger and Pat Forty. And I just, you know, again, think it's really, really interesting that, you know, for instance, the University of Tennessee, they've got that huge game at Oklahoma, you know, early in the season. If that gets wiped out, they've also got three winnable games, you know, on the schedule, you know, against the Furmans of the world. And it just, you know, all of a sudden, you know, it changes that you lose four out of conference games, and you might add two conference games that aren't going to be, you know, quite as easy. So again, the SEC plan might be revealed at least in part on Monday. And again, we don't know what direction the Big Ten is going to go. Are they going to decide to play a full 10? That it seems like that could happen. And I said it before. I think they're going to play 10. I think they're going to start October 1st. It seems like they can make that work because they are buying some time for themselves. You're right, Blaine. But it can end up backfiring on them too.
Well, they also can change it too, Mark. At the same time, if there's only conference games, if they want to shorten it even more from 10 to 8, they can do that too. Control everything because they're all conference. So they're still leaving themselves with some flexibility here to still make some adjustments even within the conference games in the conference. So I think I like that move. I don't know if what do you think the SEC will do? Let's just try to get some bold prediction. Or should we get some help from the fan base? Say, what should the SEC do?
Well, I think they're going. They're going all conference. Mm. I think absolutely. I think they are touched more by COVID-19, at least in their area geographically. Maybe not on their campuses,
right?
But at least geographically than the Big Ten. And I just feel like right now, the responsible decision might be to play, but in a modified fashion. And I'm sure for them, that would be conference games. It would cut down on travel, theoretically. And I think that they would stay in-house. And I could see just about all the Power Five conferences following suit. I mean, there's so much uncertainty right now, for instance, in the state of California. So how is the Pac-10 going to react when they've got Cal and UCLA and USC, under their roof, and the state of Texas in total upheaval right now? And they've got a bunch of Big 12 schools, not to mention Texas A&M for the SEC. So it just seems like it's pointed in that direction. Let's go to Josh in Kingston Springs. You're on 104.5 The Zone. Good morning.
Morning, guys. Yeah, I think there's no doubt these Power Fives are going to go interconference the whole time. The question is, Blaine said, if you go to 8 games, go to 10 games, is anybody even talking about what does this do? Is there a national champion? Are we going to have the old AP poll? What does that look like if they do it this way? Or are we just writing it off this year?
Yeah, it's a great question, Josh. There is a school of thought that this year they might go to an expanded playoff. That you would get the champion from each of the Power Five schools and maybe one wild card or two or three wild cards, make it 6 or make it 8. So I think it's very possible to play 8 to 10 games and then go to, that type of expanded playoff.
Oh, I love hearing that, Mark. I know that pained you to say that.
No, I think this year, I think that would be the appropriate thing to do. Especially because, those interconference games so often, give us a better sense of, conference versus conference, power team versus power team. And we're just not going to see that this year.
Yeah. Well, I really like that because of the circumstances, naturally. But we also get to see if you get to play uneven games. Maybe, you played 7, they played 8 in another conference. You get to say, or 2 in the same conference. You get to say, well, we can add this other team. We feel like they are just as good. They just came up 1 game short on the scheduling. Maybe that happens, too, as well. So how do you compare conferences within their own conference, with less games compared to the other conferences? So I really like this idea. And you get a case study of what an expanded playoff actually would look like in teams and how it would all work. And see if the fan base actually likes it. This is a, unprecedented time for everything, let alone sports. So why not? Let's test it out. Let's see what happens. Well, I love 4 games.
Well, and the reason why I think a lot of people are going to like that are for obvious reasons, because we're not sure what the fan situation is going to be even in January. So if they're playing in that format, it's all about eyeballs, on the TV. and they would get phenomenal TV numbers with a 6 to 8 team playoff. I don't think there's any question about it. We're so hungry right now for games of really almost any sport. I would imagine that an expanded college football playoff, would be, manna from heaven. Absolutely.
Well, only if Bob's eyeballs is tuning in. That's it. I mean, if Bob's all in, I think everybody will be all in. So I think we'll be just to see more football, especially would have been if this happens and it gets delayed all the way, let's say October 1st, as you're saying, Mark, and then potentially you're trying to make it up on the back end by having a playoff with expanded teams. So, yeah, I like it. And, a lot of shakeup. And, by the way, you mentioned Notre Dame. You keep saying Notre Dame's not probably in a good position. Maybe they are. Maybe they only play 6-7 games and their winning percentages is at 80%. How do you then critique them going into the playoff? Do they make the playoffs? Does it hurt them? Does it help them? We don't know, because they're going to say, okay, well, what if you get 2nd behind Clemson, but are you really tied for 1st is record-wise, let's say, in Clemson because they played ACC team, but then you played 1 less ACC game. But we all know the Notre Dame bias. Now we all know it's Notre Dame.
Yeah, but Notre Dame is not retroactively in the ACC. They're like first cousins, right, and they've got You know, it's like, you know, it's like sometimes, you know, I've known guys to have playing privileges at certain golf courses, but they're not really members. That's kind of the deal with Notre Dame.
Well, they're not members.
They're gonna play
independent.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, and they'll be
one of those teams that'll be a wild card.
Right, and they'll be the wild card that can squeak into the playoff system by playing six ACC games.
Six games, or people are going to be out.
And they're 6-0 with 100% winning percentage. And meanwhile, the SEC team that loses two of them is better than them. Yeah, and that's what's going to happen. And it is going to be drama, and we're going to love it, Mark.
Wow. All right, straight ahead. They had to take their soccer ball and go home. What's ahead for Nashville SC? We will talk about that a little bit. 6:38 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. .645 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. Mark Howard along with Blaine Bishop. And our producer, Jonathan Schaefer. And, of course, the Wake Up Zone powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. By the way, Kevin Ingram will be back on Monday. All right, guys, no shocker yesterday. MLS Commissioner Don Garber effectively took Nashville SC out of the tournament that they were having in Orlando. So, you know, all of a sudden... Yeah, everybody looking forward to watching Nashville SC and the MLS is back tourney, but because of the many COVID-19 positive tests, they come back to Nashville. You know, one of the things that was mentioned, the Nashville players took a vote Wednesday night, and the overwhelming majority wanted to play in the tournament. It would have been a risk, as the club could have had more positives before the scheduled first game on July the 14th, or, you know, incurring injury would have further depleted the roster. But they still felt like they wanted to play. But again, the MLS steps in and takes them out of the tournament. So where do they go from here, Schaefer?
Well, I think right now where they go is they just try to get everybody as healthy as possible, you know, and stop the outbreak that has gone on, or at least the positive tests that have gone on within their camp. Have those slow down because the tournament will wrap up. They'll get back to some more games later on this year. Just a disappointing way when everybody was being very optimistic and very excited about getting their season restarted to having it end this way and having the league intervene and have them be removed from the tournament like FC Dallas. Just highly disappointing.
Yeah, Joe Rexrod wrote in his column, maybe a player or two was irresponsible, or, you know, maybe a player or two on Nashville SC, you know, went to the store to get something, you know, for his wife and kids and inadvertently, you know, got infected. And this is the world we're living in right now. Whoa. You know, you have, you know, sometimes you're careful, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do, and you put yourself in a vulnerable position. And this is the argument for all the, you know, against these all these anti-face mask people, and that is, it's not so much you, it's what you can do to somebody else. It's about you spreading the disease. It's not always about you getting it. And we saw in this particular case that might have been the story.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think people all across the country need to come to that realization. It's not just protecting you, it's also protecting other people. So it's unfortunate that happened, and, you know, but it's going on all over the place. So we got to come to the point where we have to protect ourselves from other people. And I'm talking about in that you could pass it to them. So it's hard to come to that realization. But that's where we're at. So, yeah, a mask all over the place as I go anywhere and everywhere, even here in Williamson County, which is one of the lower number counties in the state. So, yeah, you got to do it. Got to do it, man.
And we'll see when the regular season restarts if Nashville SC, you know, can put a team on the field and hopefully finish out a season. which started so optimistically, you know, just in terms of fan reaction and attendance here in Nashville.
Yes.
Right. You know, in other stories, you know, shifting gears, talking about the Titans, you know, more from that interview that Paul Kaharsky had with GM John Robinson. And he admitted, you know, JR did, that, you know, there were some pending contracts. You know, Jonnu Smith, Jayon Brown, Daquan Jones, in other years might have been signed to contract extensions, but because of the uncertainty with the salary cap and the pandemic, it has created an uncertain financial landscape. And that has obviously affected the negotiations, Blaine, with Derrick Henry.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's just bad timing. And I don't know about more so Derrick Henry, but it definitely, when you're talking about multiple players, it for sure does. So, yeah, the uncertainty of what the salary cap will be and how you go about that, will it go under, will it stay flat, you know, will things get back to normal at some point, and it, once the season starts and everybody feels a little more comfortable. So, yeah, patience by the GM and all GMs at this point on signing a big contract. It's always funny, though, when we see a big contract sign, nobody brings up that question, are you worried about next year's salary cap? Did anybody ever bring that up about Mahomes?
Well,
I know he gave him a break and all that, but that was still never a question, was it?
No,
because he's the best player in the NFL. So nobody's going to ask that question, like, oh, how does this affect the salary cap moving, you know, down the road with not knowing the salary cap, you know? And so less money to spend by the owners, though.
Well, but I also think, too, that in the case of Mahomes, next year it wouldn't affect, you know, their salary cap situation. You know, I think everybody's worried about next year and where they're headed because they're not sure about the revenues. But, you know, the Titans in years past have, you know, been proactive, you know, signing Lewan and Kevin Byard to those big extensions before, you know, before their walk years. So, you know, in the case of, you know, Daquan Jones and Jonnu Smith and Jayon Brown, they're going to probably have to wait. But, you know, again, they've got the July 15th deadline with Derrick Henry, and that could end up, you know, bringing some drama. I don't think there's any way around it. You know, Mike Vrabel is playing, you know, in the celebrity golf tournament this week, you know, over in Nevada. And, you know, he was saying that getting deals done is about being patient. I mean, he says the Titans love Derrick Henry, and, you know, they will, you know, do everything they can to sign him. And Vrabel was on the NFL Network yesterday, and here's what he had to say about the Derrick Henry negotiation, which is ongoing.
Derrick signed his franchise tender. He's, you know, he's under contract. You know, I know that John and Vin Marino have been in contact with his reps, and, you know, I haven't been involved in the NFL in a lot of years. It's getting deals done is about being patient, hopefully keeping them private and confidential. So I'm going to try to respect that and understand that, you know, we love Derrick, and he understands how important he is to our football team. And again, his leadership that grew last year, I'm looking for, and I know our team is looking for more of that this year.
You know, not Blaine, the one thing that you have to be encouraged about, at least, you know, from the perspective of the Titans, they haven't made this really public. You haven't heard Derrick Henry do a lot of talking about this. You haven't heard him, you know, disparage the Titans, or, you know, it just doesn't seem to have gotten personal with him. You know, he talked a little bit about, you know, wanting the max and all that, but really, for the most part, there hasn't been a lot of back and forth in the media.
Yeah, well, I mean, well, Mark, what would that accomplish?
Oh, no, I know that, but, you know, we've seen before, with Le'Veon Bell, you know, with...
No, I'm talking about with the Titans organization. Don't use
no,
other
players. We haven't. You're right. You're right. That is sort of indigenous to the way the Titans operate. No doubt.
And that's not part of Derrick Henry is, too, by the way. Let's keep that, you know. I know this is all about money and business. He cannot like something, and he's not going to talk about it publicly. That's how you're going to... If you want someone to get... You want to get something accomplished, why would you disparage that person, that organization? That's just common sense to me. I mean, so I don't know why some of these guys do that unless they want out. And then, oh, okay, you want out. Now I see why you're talking. You're trying to force them to move you now. Okay, now that makes sense. Other than that, no, you could like or dislike whatever they're offering, but you're not going to do it because you're hoping at the end that it all works out. And I hope it will. I'm still on the prediction side. I'm losing right now. I'm probably going to lose this bet with you. I think you want... He's just going to be in a one-year deal. I'm hoping they get him to a 3 or 4 year deal. But I think there's a lot of factors that's playing into that. With the C-19 and salary cap for next year. But I'm still hoping and praying that he's there more than just this season.
All right, straight ahead, the Big Ten makes a huge decision that will definitely determine the course of this college football season. 6:54 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone.